of the book of Revelation. In the forest of northern Europe and Asia, there's a little animal called the ermine. That's what it looked like. Some of you thinking that that's a weasel. Well, it's a kind of weasel. During the summertime, it has a brown coat on the outside and a white coat in the tummy area. During the wintertime, everything turns into white, except the tail end. Because it's a pure white looking, so a lot of fur coat suppliers would love to have this thing. And then, as a matter of fact, it's been used to make a lot of royal coat. And this ermine has a unique trait. It instinctively wants to protect that white, pure white coat from anything that would soil it. For the hunters taking advantage of this unique trait, instead of laying out the trap, they go to this ermine's home and find the home in the craft of the rock or the hollow of the old tree, and they put the grime inside of the home and outside of the entrance. And they let loose the dog and chase this ermine. And the ermine frightened and running to home. And at the entrance, look inside, and it cannot go in because it's thinking about the coat, pure white coat. So instead of going in and hiding himself inside the home, he stays outside. To him, the purity is more important than life. To him, the purity is more important than life. So we have a question to ask ourselves. How do we handle the purity in Christ Jesus? Is the purity in Christ Jesus as important or more important than our lives? Someone was thinking that we are willing to compromise our faith for the sake of convenience. Some of us thinking that, well, watching little pornography on the internet is no big deal, no harm's done. Or watching pornography movie on the TV and cable is no big deal, no harm's done. Little flooding at workplace is no big deal, no harm's done. What are you compromising? Aren't you compromising your standard? Do you back down what you believe for the sake of not being left out from the in crowd? So we have to ask these questions every morning to ourselves and decide how we are going to stand and decide how we are going to live our lives in Christ Jesus every day. Not just Sunday, not just Thursday or Wednesday night. It has to be done every day. Amen. There's no compromising. Compromising is just one step close to backsliding position. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that we are about to receive. We are asking you blessing upon the word and the one who is about to speak, and asking your forgiveness for the one who speaks, because his sins are many. We are asking you hand to be upon whole service that we may understand your word and purity in God, purity in Christ Jesus. We also lift up our troops around the world. We are asking you to watch over them, keep them safe, and bring them back safe and sound, especially during this difficult time of the holiday season. They want to be with their families. And we also lift up our law enforcement people, and sheriff deputies, police officers, and federal agents. Wherever they are, whatever they're doing, keep them safe. And they may come to know Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 14 of Revelation, "Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their forehead." Underline that one, please. "And I heard a voice from heaven, like a voice of many waters, like a voice of the loud thunder. And I heard the sound of the harpists playing their harp. They sang as it were the new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. In chapter 7, we found that there were 12,000 people from the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is not the same 144,000 that you hear from the Jehovah's Witnesses who knock on your door on Saturday morning. And they, in their idea, there are 144,000 already designated, and they are Jehovah's Witness. My Bible does say like the other way. This 144,000 are pure people, and they, that doesn't mean they are sinless people. They have a fault. They have their own shortcoming. However, they give a testimony of Jesus Christ in purity and without any compromise. These people made it through. In chapter 7, as I said, 144,000 started. And they went out to the, all over the world to preach the gospel. And we find here in chapter 14, guess how many people were there? Was 143,999 people? It's all 144,000 people. God protect them throughout that time period. When God is, has his hands on it, you will be invincible. You cannot die, you cannot do, you cannot go wrong until God says so. 144,000 standing on the mountain Zion. This mountain Zion, is it, I have to ask myself when I study, is it a heavenly mountain Zion or is it earthly mountain Zion? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews is located right before the James in New Testament. Hebrews 12:22. Sin anticipate the establishment of his kingdom and their his return on the earth. And some commentators believe this is the earthly Mount Zion. However, I do believe this is Mount Zion in heaven. The reason is because we read here, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of living God, heavenly Jerusalem, not earthly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of God, church of the firstborn who were registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of a just man made perfect, to Jesus, mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of a sprinkle that speaks better things than that of Abel. See, that, please note that their father's name is written on their forehead in this 144,000 people. They don't have an A for Assembly of God, B for the Baptist, or C for the Calvary Chapel. As a matter of fact, God never created the denominations. It is done by a selfish human being. In other words, when they start to work together and then say, well, I don't like the way you sing, so I'm going to pick up my ball and go home. I'm not going to play with you anymore. That's the attitude. That's why we make a denomination. That's why we look at each other and like we are better than the other people. Let's go to the verse 4. Now we're going to find out the identity of these 144,000 people. These are the ones who were not defiled with woman, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruit to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, and they were without fault before the throne of God. As I said, they are not sinless people, but in their testimony there is no deceit and a fault. 144,000 are blessed. And these people speak Jesus with authority, and they have a Lord in their mind constantly. And they have a redemption song in their heart personally, and they see the Lamb's direction very clearly. How do they do that? Because they made a decision to follow God. Did you make a decision to follow God? Jesus might be a Savior. He may not be Lord in your life. Do you know the difference? When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, yes, he come into your heart as a Savior. However, you can live your own life in your own way. He may not be the Lord who oversees your life. Is he? the Lord of your life. Until you completely yield yourself, yield myself, He is not our Lord in our lives. He is not the master of our lives. That's one of the steps for the purity. Over the years, I've noticed two kinds of things happen when the people go through a difficult time, like these 144,000 people went through a difficult time. Either their faith get ignited and burn bright, or their faith get quenched and burned out. Burning out and burning bright, which will it be? Apostle John's flock in the Roman Empire, he wrote this book, the book of Revelation, for them. He's encouraging them to stay in the course. Keep the lordship of Jesus Christ in their heart. It's not that difficult for us to think that why not yield ourselves a little bit during this time of, you know, party time. Christmas party, end of year party, and there's a booze, and why not go have fun? Is it really worth it? You have to ask yourself. What about you guys? The trial and temptation and the test you have to go through, does it make you draw near to God or push yourself away from God? Let me say this to you. Satan cannot make you go away from God. There's an old saying, devil made me to do it. That's a pure lie. Devil cannot make you do anything. All the pressures in the world cannot make you to do anything. Young people, listen to me, please. When you go to school, there's a peer pressure. How do I know? Because I've been in there when the earth was crusting. During that time, when you go face the peer trial, peer pressures, you can stand up straight and stand tall for God. Or you can bend down and be like the rest of them. Nobody can make you to do what you have to do. You don't have to do anything. You can stand up for God. It's your choice to burning bright for God, or you can burn out and backslide. Nobody can make that choice except you, except me. So don't take the responsibility passing it to somebody else. If the devil made me do it, or you, my pastor, the way he's speaking with a broken English made me do it. Don't give me that garbage. You make your choice. I make my own choice. Let's go to verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of the air, midst of the heaven, and having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth. Underline next phrase, please. To every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the spring of the water. And underlined Him who made heaven and earth and every sea and the springs of water. If you call the 144,000 as the infantry, we have air support. Angels now this time is flying around preaching the gospel. Would that be the same kind of gospel? No, it's not the same kind of gospel. The angel's deal is not privileged to preach the gospel like you and me. We are the only one who has the responsibility and the privilege to do so. However, these angels now they are taking turns. However, this is not the same kind of gospel. This is what we call the natural theology. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 20, please. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Some of you guys come up with an excuse. The reason why I don't believe Jesus Christ is because God is not fair. Because what about those people in pygmy in Africa? Number one, the tribe of pygmy is not in Africa. They're in New Guinea. So you got the idea wrong. And those people, don't worry about them. This is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So don't worry about pygmy. Don't worry about the Chinese people. Don't worry about all those other people. It's between you and Him. What are you going to do with when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in this church, Calvary Chapel of Sarita? You are responsible for how you're going to respond. When you walk out the door here without responding to him, yes or no, you are responsible. If you yes, say yes, you're going to have eternal life. If you say no, I'll make it very clear to you, you will go to hell.
Amen.
There's no other way around. So you have a choice. You make a choice. Verse 20. Then since creation of the world, his invisible attributes were clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse. What do you know? People ran out of excuse. By simply looking at the creation, we can see the power of God and we can see the existence of God. All creation bears witness to God's existence as well as his power and wisdom. As I said, in evolution, evolutionists will do anything, everything within their power to make evolution theory as the science fact. If you believe evolution theory, you came to the right place. We're going to talk about it. They will do anything. A couple of years ago, I was in the debate between evolution scientists and creation scientists in New Bay. This guy, the evolution scientist, showed up and he threw this jargon, the terms that each word has about 20 letters. Nobody could pronounce except him. If he pronounced it, who knows what it says? Everybody say, wow, impressed. However, he couldn't come up with one convincing evidence about evolution. His concept of a second law of thermodynamics was pathetic. And the other side, creation scientists came up with evidence after evidence and proving that creation is a true fact, not myth. The reason for the evolution belief, listen to me please, the reason for that is that they have to admit that there is one true God and we are accountable to him. The idea of that we are accountable to him boggles their minds. So they are denying his existence, and somehow by doing so, they think that God will go away. God will disappear. Guess what? God won't disappear. We are the one who's going to get disappeared into somewhere else. The evolution theory is practically a religion, and they worship, and they follow, and they believe. The day will come, I ask you on the line, every tongue and the tribe and nation will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. The day will come. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Whether they like to admit or not, He is. Jesus Christ is God. He's not the Michael, the archangel's brother. He is God, Godhead, one of the Godheads. And He is in charge of everything. Again, I'm going back to choice. You can choose to say, He is my God and my Savior and my Lord, or you can say, yes, He is God by fear. That time will come, who lived on the face of the earth will have to admit that He is God. Would you rather do it voluntarily or would you rather do it by force? I'm sure if you raise your children or you were children once, our parents said, would you rather do it by force or would you rather do it by yourself? Duh, that was a difficult question. All right, verse 8. Now we're starting to hear what these people's angels talking about. Now another angel followed the saying, Babylon is fallen in the great city because she has made all nations drink of wine of wrath of the her fornication. Babylon is a world system for the Antichrist. Entire economic and political organization is within his rules. We are told that Babylon, they led all nations to make a fornication. That's a spiritual fornication, ladies and gentlemen. In other words, that his Antichrist is using Babylon system to make them to have idol worship, worshiping other gods, little g gods, other than real God. This spiritual fornication will lead to literal immorality. As you see on TV, there is immorality is a given. And we'll continue in verse 9. Then the third angel followed them, and saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image, receive his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also, underline next phrase, please, drink a wine of wrath of God, which poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Fire and brimstone is very important here. And in the presence of his holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the next phrase again. Smoke of their torment ascend forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. And who worship the beast and his image, whoever received the mark of his name. By the way, nowadays, getting a tattoo is in thing. So everybody's getting a tattoo. By the way, just for you side information, I'll have a side job. If you want a tattoo, I'm an artist. I'm a graphic designer. Honest goodness, you come see me. I'll give you the tattoo with a magic marker all over your face. And Ben can help me out with his spray, you know, doing graffiti on your face too. So just save money. We'll do a half sale, okay? Tattoo is the in thing nowadays. Tattoo, when you're getting a tattoo, that's voluntary things. You want to show, when you make a statement on with your body, that's fine. I don't see anywhere in the Bible says that you will go to hell if you have a tattoo. I know some of you guys thinking, are you going to encourage people to take a tattoo? I'm not. But if you want to do it, you want to be a walking mural, that's up to you. However, taking a mark of beast is a different story, folks. When you take a mark of beast, that's the alliance with him, that's a pledge to worship the Satan. This means that we are going to face that time. No, none of us will face that. If you're a born-again Christian, you will not face that time. However, if you're not born-again Christian, you will have to make a choice whether you take the mark of beast or you don't get to have anything because the economy will not allow you to buy anything without that mark of beast, as we study in chapter 13. Those who worship the Antichrist were forced to drink the wine of wrath of God in full strength. This time, the God of love will not withhold his judgment. Yes, God is God of love. And God is a very loving God. He's full of grace. God is full of mercy. But time is up. It's time to dish out his wrath to the non-believing people, to those who are against Jesus Christ. They made a choice, so they are going to find the consequence of their choice. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 16. No, not 16, but 17. As soon as I say John chapter 3, you guys thinking, 16. It's one of those things, you know, how many of you guys remember Joe Montana? Joe Montana, San Francisco 49er, my favorite guy. And Steve Young. Remember him? Steve Young was a real good quarterback. You know him? However, he was almost treated as like a nothing because Joe Montana was so good. This is the case in point. John 3:16 is so famous. John 3:17 is like treated like a nothing. That's a weird analogy, but God, you got the point. I better get to the John 3:17. Okay, John 3:17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. What does it say? But the world through him might be saved. What do you know? It's an individual choice. I should underline, people will go through the torment, people will go through the fire and brimstone. That's a little hell, folks. Jehovah's Witness and Mormons believe that there's no literal hell. And they said, well, everybody will just live happy, hunky-dory, I guess. But hell is a literal place, and pain is a literal, and the time is eternal. In hell, the worst part of that of the hell is not just burning alive forever. The worst part is utter separation from God. Are you willing to take that for the sake of little pleasure on this earth? If you think that way, you are not really thinking straight. Verse 12, Here is the patience of the saint. Here are those who keep the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from the heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who died in the Lord from now on. Yes, they say the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their works follow him. This is the easy contrast, the continual torment of the wicked. The one who's going to choose to go to the other side will be tormented at the same time. Those who find Christ in their heart will receive eternal rest. In verse 14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like a son of man, and having his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying on with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust your sickle in the rib, for the time has come for you to rib, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth was ripped. While the winning soul to Christ is sometimes pictured as harvest, but at the same time, this can be judgment. Those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, to them is a judgment. This is case in point. Now we are finding the harvest is ripe, and harvest is finally done here. And now we are going to find the wine press of God in verse 17. Then another angel came out of the temple, and which is in heaven, and he also having a sharp sickle, and another angel came out from the altar, who had the power over fire. He cried with a loud cry to him who had a sharp sickle, saying, thrust your sharp sickle, gather a cluster of little, that's all folks, the vine of the earth, and her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth, and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horse bridles for the 1,600 furlongs. Again, the grape harvest is also the judgment in the Bible. Scripture portrays the three different vines. Number one, I find in Joel chapter 3, verse 13. I want you to write it down and take a look at it later, please. It's about Israel. Israel was God's vine. He planted them in the land of milk and honey, promised land. And they were supposed to bring forth the good fruit. However, they didn't. They worshipped the idols of the foreign nations. So what happened to them? God cut the vine. Another one I find is John chapter 15. Jesus said, I am what? Vine, you are the branch. And he talks about that. And second vine I find is a world system, is the vine of the earth. In contrast to Christ, vine of the heavenly vine, this is the one who's going to receive sickle and the judgment. Today, God is speaking to the world in grace. Once the tribulation happened, God will not speak to the world in grace, but he will speak to them in judgment. I hope you're ready. Is this an old evangelical message? No, it is not. For if you have been backslidden, if you've been playing game with God, this is a wake-up call. And if you've been discouraged in the walk with Christ, I hope your faith is ignited and burning brightly. Let's make applications. Oh, right, before we make the application, it said 106,000. The furlongs, 1,600 furlongs. That's equivalent to 200 miles. Ancient time, the battlefield, 200 miles cannot be accepted because it's too much. However, in modern days, 200 miles battlefield is nothing. So this is definitely talking about future battlefield. In chapter 13, when we read, the way it ends, it's like Satan and the Antichrist is winning. However, by reading chapter 14, we realize God is still in control. He has everything in His hand. Let's make our applications. Number one, spiritual purity must be maintained in our walk with Christ. Whether it is another God or a shiny car or your spouse or your child or children, anything to replace God in your heart is idol, guys. If it replaces in your heart the one true God, you're having idol worship. If it's yourself, your career, your job, you have idol worship. Second thing, physical purity is essential in our walk with Christ. Physical purity is essential in our walk with Christ. Immorality and idolatry is very much connected. From one end to another end, it's connected. If you get involved with idolatry, you'll get into the immorality. If you get into the immorality, pretty soon you're going to have somebody else in your heart other than Jesus Christ. As I said before, seems like it might be innocent flooding at your workplace. Seems like it's innocent, you know, visiting porno site. As a matter of fact, there is a 60%, over 60% of website belongs to porno site. If you're visiting those kind of places, stop. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus Christ with His authority, I'm asking you to stop now. If you're receiving porno magazine, stop it now. If you're watching that kind of movie on the cable or you're renting the video, stop. And I'm going to go one more step. If you're practicing immorality, stop. If you're not married, until you're married to that person, you're not supposed to sleep together. Somebody asked me this. Is that for the teenagers? I was thinking, I was really tempted to pick up the Bible and bash his head. But God said, be nice. I mean, I have to? There's no age limit. Do you know which age group is really fast-growing AIDS patient now? Senior citizens. Thanks to all this medicine they sell on TV. So they got active in the sexual thing, and all of a sudden they have a bunch of AIDS patients around. It doesn't matter how old you are. If that person is not your spouse, you're not supposed to go and do anything. Stay far away. Spiritual purity is important, and physical purity is essential. Take this as a warning from God, please. The things that please our carnal desire are the stepping stone to the backsliding life. Seems like an easy, fun thing. Remember King David? He just flirted with this woman called Bathsheba. One night stand, he thought it's over. What do you know? That was the start of his miserable life. He did start so well, and he was a great king for Israel. How did he end? With a broken heart. Is it worth it? Think about consequences. Is it worth it? Let's stand up and pray. I know a lot of you. I know you're born again, a lot of you. But I don't know all of you. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head, no peeking. If you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, you've been playing game. However, that playing game stage is over. Because you came here. From this broken English-speaking preacher, you heard the word clearly. You have a choice to make, whether you're going to go to heaven or go to hell. It's your choice. If you say no because of you, what other people might say, you're missing out the greatest blessing, greatest love that God has for a human being. It's time to say okay to God. Anyone wants to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, simply raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Okay. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. My sin has separated me from you. But I turn away from my sin. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that He died for my sin. He rose again from the dead. He's my God. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. You might wonder why these people applaud. Because we've been there. You just accept Christ into your heart. That means your eternal destination changed from hell to heaven. Amen. Isn't that great? Bill and Ashley, I want you to stick around so we can talk to you a little bit. We're not going to ask for money. We're going to give you things, okay? I'm going to ask you one more thing. Close your eyes, please. You're thinking, what's this, Catholic? Close my eyes all the time. As I said before, if you've been playing game with God because you like the taste of the world, you're backslidden, you know in your heart. You didn't put your God in the first place. You replace Him with something else. If you did that, you're backslidden. I'm going to ask you to make up your mind. You cannot play both sides. You have to make a choice, either God or the world. World has nothing for you. You know that. You're the most miserable person in the world because you have too much Christ in your heart to have fun in the world. You are miserable because you have a Holy Spirit in your heart to have fun the other way around. If you're backslidden and you want to come back to Christ, raise your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Okay. Come see me afterward, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We rejoice with the angels in heaven for those who too came to Christ Jesus. We thank you. We are asking you, touch their heart, strengthen them, renew them. And the one who raised the hand from the backslidden, strengthen her heart, encourage her to stay fast, steadfast in your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is joyful. Let's sing a song before we go. And if you need a prayer, come see me or Jack, okay? See you Thursday night.